your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show. It's Wednesday night, and of course, we're going to be talking about Bigfoot. So we're showing up as the She Squatchers, but I'm the only one here. My girls are having trouble getting online, so we're waiting on them. But in the meantime, we have our guests. We've got Maria Dolores from the did I say that right? From the BigfootPortal.com. Hey, Maria, are you there?
Hi, Jen. Hi, everyone. How's everyone doing tonight?
We're great. And also, we've got Mama Squatcher from the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters. Hey, Mama, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Happy to be here for a while.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad you're here. Well, this is awesome to have these ladies together tonight, because we're going to be talking about how us girls have gone squatch. Basically, we go looking for Bigfoot. That's our fun way of putting it. So, in the last couple of weeks, the She Squatchers have been to the ECBRO Virginia Bigfoot Conference in Fishersville, Virginia, and that's where we finally got to meet Mama Squatcher in person. So that was pretty awesome. I was really excited to meet you, Mama Squatcher. And let me just tell you a little bit about her. She is one of the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters, and like her name implies, she is the mother of two of their team members. So maybe she wants to tell you who, maybe she doesn't. You never know. But they live on a farm in Southern Illinois that has been very active with Bigfoot activity. Bigfoot has made himself known to your whole family. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, he has. Or they have. I'm not sure. I'm not sure he or she, but yes, always since I've been very young.
That's pretty cool. I know that you were sharing with us that they sometimes even slap your house. And
Yep. If my youngest is gone and he's not there to tap back, they play a little tap on the wall game. You know, it's like somebody will do the knock-knock on the wall and you'll do a knock-knock and answer. And my son started doing that, and he was gone with his father for vacation. They come on their regular night, and they started tapping on the wall, and I just was kind of laying there, and they come up and smack the wall, and it scared the bejeebers out of my poor cat. Kind of scared me a little bit, too, because it shook the whole side of the house. So it's not really happened a whole lot that they've got like that. I think it's just because they felt ignored, and he'll tell me, Mom, they're tapping again, and I'll say, just tap and answer and get it over with, you know. It'll make them happy. They'll leave us alone tonight and we can get some sleep.
So do you think they just do that so that you acknowledge that they're there?
I think so. It's happened more so, I think, since my dad took the tree line out behind us in a fence row. There was a whole line of trees, and it seemed like we'd have more up-close activity since Dad cleaned that fence row out. He found a huge path that was well-worn from the woods to this little tree line in the fence row. And he about had a heart attack when he saw how big the path was. And he was just like, I don't know what's been walking there, but I'm not real happy about this. We're going to clean this up so they don't have anywhere to hide. And he stuck that out. So I kind of think that's what brought them a little closer to the house, because they didn't have any place to stand and hide and watch us.
Oh, so they like to look and watch.
Oh, apparently, I still think it's younger ones doing the slapping of the house and throwing rocks and stuff. You know, I think it's just to get attention.
Exactly, like like kids throwing eggs at the neighbors' houses, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey. You know, it's occasionally I'll hear them hit the house with a rock, and I'm like, yeah, I know you're here. And sometimes I'll walk out on my porch, and I'll tell them, you can stop now. I'd like to go to sleep. You know, sometimes it's bad when he's not home, and I basically think they've learned the days that he's not home now, because once or twice I've heard it since spring, and then it's like on the days that he's gone, I don't hear it. And I'll be honest with you, the oldest cat isn't as nervous either, so he's pretty laid back now, because he has a cat tree by the wall where they thump on the wall. And then Josh moved his bed, too. And it's just different. He even fixed the window, covered up the window so they can't see in the window. And he's just like, I just need my privacy. And I said, okay, do what you gotta.
So you think they do it when he's not home. Why would you think they do that?
I think that they had to establish when he was home and when he wasn't. He'll go certain days of the week and stay with his dad for 2 days, and then he comes home. And I think it's just kind of been a game with them to come up and see, and if he's paying attention. He likes to kind of try and ignore him. It's like he told me the other day, he said that it's not that I don't believe in him. He says, but I'm not going to give him a name. He said, I believe they exist. He says, but I'm 16 and I just don't want to be aggravated, is exactly how he put it. And I thought, oh, well, yeah, that's definitely a 16-year-old boy, you know. He's not interested in that right now, so he doesn't want to deal with them.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Something he might look back on and regret later in life.
Well, we were even on our way down to the conference, and he was talking to us on the phone, and he said, I can't go to the hospital anymore. And I said, why? He said, well, do you remember when so-and-so was dying? I said, yeah. And he said, I can't go because, he said, when he was dying and we were in the room, he said, I felt all of his fear and his anger and being upset over dying. And that's when he finally acknowledged to Zach and I that he's empathic like Zach and I. So, I think he's just finally learning to deal with everything, and just maybe their little game got a little unnerving, and because they do kind of whack the house a little hard sometimes back at him, so. Seems to have even bother him, and I think maybe if he had an encounter and saw one, he probably would be better with it.
Yeah.
I think it would rest his mind.
Interesting stuff. Have you seen them with your eyes, Mama Squatcher?
Yeah. When I was 5 years old, I was asleep, and I felt like a noise or a breeze at the window because we didn't have the air conditioning and we had the windows open, and I looked up and there was something looking in the bedroom window. When I looked out then on the porch, underneath the porch light, it just looked like a really tall old man with long flowing hair and just a plain face. It wasn't like his face was covered up. But that's just, that's what stuck out in my eye, and it was like the light in the back of him. And then again, when I was 12 years old and we built the addition on the house, the same one came back in and was trying to look in the screen that we had open, the inside door, which is the storm door, was trying to look in the screen door. And it was the same one, because I looked out my bedroom window and saw it there, and I just kind of went back to bed and didn't really think about it, till later on in life. And it just, I just think that they're watching me. They've always watched me, I think, since I was a little girl. I even wonder if it's been one that's grew up with me.
Well, they're curious. They're curious about what you're doing in that box.
I think so. Yeah, the big noisy box. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, and, growing up as kids not having television or video games or whatever. Oh, my gosh. I think my fellow She Squatchers are on the line. Hey, girls.
Hey. Hi. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yay.
Hi. Oh, yeah. Hello. I'm glad you made it.
So sorry. It took us forever. I think the internet gods were not wanting us to be on the air tonight.
The internet gods. I see. Very good, very good. Hey, so here we've got Jenna Grover and Tammy Treichel, my fellow She Squatchers. Hey, ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm just going to introduce Tammy Treichel. She's our newest member of our She Squatchers team, and we're really excited to have added her. I've worked with Tammy for years. We were the psychic sisters. So we used to do some psychic work together, and you know, one of the things I'm particularly excited to add her skills to our team. You know, she's also an animal communicator, and she's a very strong psychic. But in, you know, I can see auras, but I have to specifically look for them. And they don't just pop out at me most of the time. But Tammy, they pop right out at her. So I'm thinking, if Bigfoot's trying to hide in the woods, anything's energy field is quite large, and you can't really hide that. So Tammy's going to be our secret weapon for seeing those energy fields.
I'll take it.
So that's our plan of attack right now, and it's not really an attack. It's just our strategy. So we're very peaceful. We go into the woods in a very good way. So when we have good intentions, we go in without men, dogs, and guns. So we go in to have that peaceful interaction and establish that communication. So yeah. So I'm just going to let the ladies know we've got Maria from the Bigfoot Portal, and we've got Mama Squatcher from the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters. So here we are. We just saw Mama Squatcher in Virginia, didn't we, Jenna?
Sorry, I was on. Yes, we did. Hi, Mama Squatcher. Hi, Zach. Hello, Maria.
I see you come inside, Jenna.
Huh?
I said, I see you come inside.
You're sick.
Oh, see, now the listeners aren't going to get that joke because they weren't there at the presentation. But
I bet you'll tell them, Jen. I will.
I'm going to tell them right now. I'm going to tell them because we can't let the joke go over their head. So during the presentation that we gave in Virginia, was incorporating some pictures that I had posted on the internet of the stick structure that we found. And in one of the pictures, Jenna is inside the structure. She has this very not attractive look on her. She's a very serious look on her face. And the caption I put on the picture was, Jenna goes inside. And Jenna said, Jen, that just sounds bad. That sounds like an adult film title or something. And I laughed and laughed and said, you never should have said that to me.
Okay, I have to say, everybody is on mute, but they're all laughing so hard right now.
They are. I can see them. So during the presentation, I said, so she never should have said that to me, because now there is going to be hashtag Jenna goes inside on everything. And so now that's the big joke. Hashtag Jenna goes inside. And yeah.
Zach was actually saying he wanted to get a shirt. Hashtag Jenna goes inside. Now, Zach, if I ever see you wearing that shirt, I will take a picture, but that's all I'm going to do.
The listeners didn't know that Zach was here, but now that she's let the cat out of the, or the Zach out of the bag, Zach Sterik from the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters has joined us. Girls Gone Squatch tonight. Oh, hey, Zach, welcome to the show.
That's going to be a dangerous thing.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was a secret.
Because you were late. Jenna goes inside.
So inside your breath. Laugh it up. Everybody laugh it up.
Oh, we do. So we even went out for dinner Saturday night when we were at the Virginia Bigfoot Conference, and we were at one of these restaurants called the Fish and Pig, and they have this paper across the table that you can write and draw on. And Jenna had run to the bathroom, and Brian Ingerman, the artist who was there working at the conference as well, he goes over and he writes underneath Jenna's menu. He picks it up and he writes, hashtag Jenna goes inside, and puts her menu back down. So when she lifts her menu up and gives it away, it's right there in front of her. It was really funny.
You have to understand, I'm laughing at this too. Come on. Everywhere I'm looking, I'm just going to
Oh, everybody, I think everybody enjoyed that part of the presentation, didn't they? Did anybody say anything? And Zach or Mama Squatcher, did anybody mention that to you?
I did.
Yeah, Zach told me.
I don't remember.
Telephone, television, tell Zach.
I don't remember that night very well. I was a little tipsy.
Oh, yeah. You had a little...
I know I was flirting with Jen.
And I kept telling him my daughter is older than you, boy.
Honey, it's just older.
That was funny. Anyway, poor thing. So, and I heard that they carried you up to bed that night, Zach.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the pictures. You're lucky that you woke up with both eyebrows.
She made Baltimore Govan Jr. my babysitter. He was patting me on the back. To left said, come on, Zach, let's go. Come on.
There you go.
Grounded. If he did.
Right. So I want to get to Maria in the conversation a little bit more here. Maria was also on a trip while we were gone, and she just got back from her trip. And she left before we left, Jenna. But when we left, right before we left for Virginia, she was already on the go. And she was on her way to Washington State. Maria, will you tell us a little bit about your adventures, your boots on the ground looking for Bigfoot?
Sure. Actually, I left June 26th, and I was back home by July 7th. So I was gone before you left, and I was still gone by the time you got back, Jen and Jenna.
Yes, you were.
It was an amazing 2 weeks. I told my kids that... I'm going to retire up at Mount Rainier. I'm going to do like the Dalai Lama. If they want to come and visit me, they're going to have to go hike up there because it was just a beautiful scenery out in Washington. I really did. And the first week we were there, I met up with my friend Lori Simmons. She's a Bigfoot researcher and author. And she did a little... gave us a tour of the north of Seattle area. So we got to, since I took my two daughters with me, Jules and Sammy, and they're 13 and 11. So they got to, we watched Harry and the Hendersons with Lori, and then she took us to the film location. So that was a lot of fun. We also, I had my She Squatchers hoodie that I got from your fundraiser, and I wore it on the plane from Chicago to Washington to Seattle, and I got a lot of looks, I got a lot of questions, and I said, check us out on the Facebook page and on the website, shesquatchers.com.
Woo! She's representing.
Yes, so I was representing you guys. But the weather was a little cool, so one of my beautiful daughters stole my hoodie. Because it's really nice and warm, and she would not let it go. So she was representing most of the trip with the hoodie. The other shirts that I purchased with your through your fundraiser, I gave to my Bigfoot researcher girlfriends that I met in Washington. So thank you very much. They love them. They love representing you guys. And we met with Lori, and one of the things on my bucket list, besides, you know, visiting the Cascades and Mount Rainier, was to visit Ording, Washington. And we met with our friend Jill Smith, who was, I'm going to give a shout out to Jill. She was the hostess with the mostest at our Lewiswis campout. She's the one that she and Jeff Kaiser hosted the campout in Randall, Washington at Lewiswis, which is in the Gifford Pinchot Forest Preserve, right on the foothills of Mount Rainier. But my bucket list was to go see Ording. And why Ording? And it's because everyone has heard of Autumn Williams. She wrote the book Enoch. Well, Autumn grew up in Ording, and she had her mom and Autumn, when she was little, had Bigfoot activity at their property. And her mom never talked about the activity until much later, when Autumn became really passionate about finding about Bigfoot, because she had memories of having an encounter when she was young. And she asked for my mom, tell me about, you know, all these interactions. What happened? I know something happened. She was about 3 to maybe 7 years old when she lived there. And what her mom ended up doing is she penned everything for Autumn. And Autumn ended up turning that essay and that story into a book for her mom. And it's called The Valley of the Skookum. So in there, it's just a very engaging story about her interactions there, not only with Bigfoot, but with other paranormal stuff that was going on there. There's a lot of strangers. She had dreams with the Dreamwalker, which at first I thought it was her, but it turned out to be something else. But I won't spoil the ending of the book because it's extremely good book to read. So probably, well, you know, I'm with the Bigfoot Portal. It's a web portal that provides resources of information from podcasts, YouTube videos, articles, etc. So one of the things that we try to do, and people always ask, what's a good book to read? So we went ahead and started the Bigfoot Club. And in December, that was my first book, The Valley of the Skookum. So I read that book, and I just been fascinated because it's true to life. You know, you see landmarks that are in the book, and now you're seeing them in real life. Oh, this is what she meant by the Carbon River. Oh, this is what she meant by the trestle. This is, you know, all the big bluffs and everything like that. So Lori, Jill, my daughters, and I took a trip down there, and we walked the Carbon River, and it was just amazing just to feel the story come alive for me and for the girls. They've never read the book, but I was able to, you know, kind of give them the cliff notes of it. But as we were walking, my daughter was pointing to something in the trees. She goes, look, Mom, there's something up there. And I couldn't tell what it was, but, you know, she has really good eyesight. Lori saw it. Jill saw it. And what she was looking at, and she took a picture of it, and we enlarged it, and she was looking at a baby Sasquatch in the trees across the bluffs in the Carbon River in Ording. So you'd be surprised where the Sasquatch is. Ording is a bustling community now. It wasn't what it was in the 70s. You know, it was just cabins by the river. A lot of those cabins were destroyed due to flooding and stuff. The government right now is trying to condemn all that property so the damage could be contained. So just walking that was amazing. We saw also, you know, the river is full of rocks because it's the river's is the glacier melt from the mountains. So we found heart rocks, which is really cool thing to do too. So we all got our heart rocks, which Julie's luggage was confiscated by TSA when on our way back. We were asking her, why is she taking a rock? Why does she have a rock in her backpack? And it's like, it's my souvenirs, but they let her go with it. But it was just amazing. And, you know, I was, you know, happy to see some type of activity there and to just have that story come to life. And then Saturday through Thursday, we went down to the foothills of Mount Rainier at the Gifford Pinchot National Park, which is right on the foothills. And we stayed there Saturday through Thursday, and we just had a lot of fun. Jill was the host there, so was Jeff. And we had about 30 people coming and going through that whole week and having great experiences. We had night sits. I heard something walking around our tent at night. My friend Keith, he went ahead and crossed the river on a raft and scaled the bluff, which was filled with, you know, it's an old growth forest. So the trees are like 7 stories high. It's just amazing to see all that. You don't see that in the Midwest. So I was tickled pink to see a whole different landscape. What else? In the night sit, I saw eyeshine, and it was just incredible. There were strange lights in the sky. People were seeing a lot of different things, and we're going to be at the Night Dreams Talk Radio Show on Saturday. All the campers that went are going to congregate and talk about the videos and pictures that they took, what their experiences were. I wasn't able to stay till Saturday, but more cool stuff happened Saturday. So I'm excited to hear about everything that was going on. Well, I heard whoop. I heard tree knocks. It was just incredible.
Oh, that is awesome. You said you saw some strange lights. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. They happened. Well, we were doing a night sit right off the river. Our camp was along the river. The name of the river is called Ohanapekosh River. It branches off from the Cowlitz River. And we had four campsites, and they all were flanking that river. And we did a night sit by the river, and all of a sudden we started seeing strange lights up in the sky. It was a clear night, and it happened to be 4th of July. So at first we thought it was fireworks, and then we're thinking, no, because it literally looked like a strobe light in the sky. There was no thunder. It wasn't like lightning. It wasn't fireworks. It wasn't different colors. But it was on and off. It stopped for a few minutes. Then it continued on. And it kept going on through our night. Said, eventually, Samara and I went to bed about 3 o'clock in the morning. And we just couldn't stay up anymore. But they were still going on there. It was interesting to us.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. So, Mama Squatcher, have you had lights activity by your place?
Not activity? Is that what
no,
you
the,
said?
The light. Oh, strange light.
This fall.
Yeah, that UFO went over.
We had one. We were out driving home, and we saw something, and I said, what is that? And we went back. We turned around. We started following it, and we followed it for probably 15, 20 minutes. And it come up, and it's really long, about the size of a football field, and had red lights on it. And we went to my dad's, because I said, we got to go, because Mom and Dad's never going to believe this. And we went, and my dad went outside and stood on his back deck on the house. And he's like, I've never saw anything like that before.
We watched it. I watched it for an hour. I stood out on the road watching it for about an hour.
No sound, nothing. And then we found out later on the next day they had in the newspaper that it was saw in 5 different states at the very same time.
Wow.
Right, but they tried to say that it was the Air Force or whatever out flying. And I'm like, no, because we usually hear noise. They come so low over where we live, it shakes our houses when they're out. And that's just how low they fly. This was up. But it was about the length of a football field, and it was just like, we're just amazed just watching it.
15 red lights, blood red lights,
yeah,
going horizontal across the west sky. And they were trying on WPSD Local 6 out of Paducah, Kentucky, the news station, they were trying to pass it off, saying it was C-17s, cargo planes flying in formation doing night maneuvers. My boss seen it. My boss worked on the SR-71 and during Vietnam. And he saw them, too. He said, there ain't no way it was Air Force because there ain't no planes that could stay in formation that many for that long.
Yeah. It was quite a while, about an hour, hour and a half, that I watched. It was very interesting to me because we saw things over the years out where we live. And we saw them come together. And then we saw, like, 3 of them together. And then we saw 3 lights split and go their own separate ways. Since I, you know, that was back when I was like in my teens, we saw that. So I don't think anything about it.
Well, that's awesome stuff. We're already at the half of the mark of the show, so we're gonna have to take a 2-minute break. We'll be back right back. Everybody, stay tuned.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. Demons. Vampires. This and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Hello? nothing subsists and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead. We know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Parax.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No.
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear.
Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show, and we're back from our break. But when we're not live on the air, you can find us online at thejourneyradioshow.com. But please check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And hey, we're showing up at this, as the She Squatchers tonight. Would you please check out our website at shesquatchers.com? And please do like our Facebook page at facebook.com/SheSquatchersOfficial. So tonight we've got my fellow She Squatchers on, Jenna Grover, as usual, but we've also got Tammy Treichel joining us, and she's our newest She Squatchers member, and we're really, really excited to have her on the team with us. And then we've also got popping in tonight, we've got Mama Squatcher from the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters and Maria DeLourdes from the BigfootPortal.com. So we've got lots of ladies here tonight. We're kicking it off with the Girls Gone Squatch, and sitting in with the Girls Gone Squatch is Zach Sterick from the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters, but he's wearing a dress. Just kidding. Sorry, dress.
That was hilarious.
Just kidding. He's getting in touch with his feminine side.
Yeah. I was going to mention earlier when you were talking, Zach, you need to kick up your voice a few notches higher if you're going to be one of the girls. So just saying. Oh, we love you, buddy. Come on. Anyway, he's giving me the evil eye. So, but now that we're back from the break, I just wanted to kick it off with Tammy a little bit and welcome her to the show. Welcome her to officially the team and to everybody out there listening. This is Tammy Treichel. She's our newest She Squatcher. So, hey, Tammy, we want to hear something from you about Bigfoot or what you hope to accomplish with us and all that fun stuff. I'm putting her on the spot. Here we go.
Well, I do want to say, right before I left for the Bigfoot conference up in Reamer, Minnesota, I was sitting outside early in the morning and I started hearing knocking and I was like, okay, it must be a woodpecker. But then a woodpecker was off in the distance and it was different than this one. I was like, okay, you've got to be kidding me. Bigfoot knows I'm going to look for him, so he's coming to find me first. So it was interesting. And I think that at some point in the future, we might have to look around my property. I live on an 80-acre farm out in the middle of the country, so we have lots of room for a Bigfoot to roam, for sure.
I'm excited to try that out because, you know, I grew up right around where Tammy's living now and exploring the woods there, and it just blows my mind that there could be Bigfoot that close to where I was always in the woods growing up. And I know that there were sightings repeatedly by Yulin, Minnesota, which is like 14 miles away from where I grew up too. So, I mean, it was crazy to think that there were so many Bigfoot sightings by Yulin. So Tammy looks surprised. You didn't know there were Bigfoot sightings by Yulin.
I did not. Why aren't we investigating in Yulin? It's right down the road. Let's go.
Right. Let's do it. I'm ready. There's that really awesome park right outside. Well, it's right on the outskirts of Yulin, and it's actually many, many, many acres of wetlands and woods. back there with trails. So I think it's a perfect place for us to investigate. I've walked back in there myself, by myself, and this was before I was on this Bigfoot journey. And for what I've never felt weird about being in the woods or scared about being in the woods, but I had a creepy feeling that somebody was watching me, and I just didn't feel right about it the time that I had walked back in there pretty far by myself, and so I left. And I had never had that experience before, and I wasn't quite sure what to think of it, so I just left. But now that I'm thinking about it, and now that I know that there had been Bigfoot sightings in the area, I wonder if Thatsu was checking me out.
It's very possible.
If that's what I was sensing, because it was a weird feeling. So,
well, I know in my yard I have bears and timber wolves and bobcats and coyotes, so there's definitely room for a Bigfoot out there.
They always say that Bigfoot are near the coyotes. I hear that a lot. So if there's coyotes, there's probably going to be some Bigfoot, as long as there's water nearby too. So yeah, well, let's plan something in the near future. We're going to have some slumber party action over at Tammy's place.
Slumber party.
Oh gosh, it's so much different for us girls to go Bigfooting than it is for you guys, isn't it, Zach? Do you go slumber party? No, he's shaking his head. No, the people on the air can't see that, Zach.
They don't need to see that. They already got the vision of me in a dress.
Everyone in the chat room said a kilt. Is it a kilt? And I said, yeah, it must be a kilt. So that's the vision they have, a very manly looking kilt. And you've got the red hair to go with it, so they've got the right idea. and Fred is in the chat room asking if Bigfoot wears kilts, and I highly doubt that he does, but you never know. But I highly doubt. I highly doubt that Bigfoot wears a kilt. He goes all natural, Maria says, in the chat room. But Maria, you could have said that aloud. You're on the air tonight.
I forgot.
She's answering in the chat room. That's cute. So yeah, we're excited to have Tammy, and that's the other thing. We did the EC Barrow Virginia Bigfoot Conference, then we scampered home as quickly as we could get back, because it was more than a 20-hour drive. What was it, more like 22 or 23, because so much construction and detours and all that.
And the power naps.
Yeah, we have to talk a little bit about coming back from Virginia. So I'm gonna share that story, Jenna. So here we go. Are you ready? We're supposed to be telling about our adventures too. So,
all right, I'm ready.
Okay. So we have these awesome SheSquatchers.com magnets that go on the car, and they take up pretty much the whole driver's side of the door. Right? We've got one on each side of the car, and we're going down the road. And I'm tired, so I'm leaning back. I'm cuddled up with my Bigfoot pillow, and I've got my head covered up with a partial blanket, so I've got my one eye and my nose sticking out from underneath the blanket, and that's it. And I wake up and I open my one eye, and I see a lady looking at me and laughing, and then I see other people standing there giggling, and I look over at Jenna, and she is leaned back, cuddled up against the window with her Bigfoot pillow that's shaped like a big foot. And it's got Bigfoot on it. It says Bigfoot on it. And she's got that plastered up against the window, and she's cuddling with it with her sunglasses on, sleeping away. And there's people standing outside looking at us. And I'm sure it was quite the sight to see it. I'm like, Jenna, did you take the magnets off the car? She said, no, was I supposed to? And I'm like, people are outside. They're giggling at us, Jenna. And she's like, oh. And she just moves her seat. She sits her seat right up. She puts the car in reverse, and she drives away like nothing happened.
Okay, Jen, you didn't say enough about the way you looked. I know you kind of explained. Okay, so I looked over at Jen. Her face is completely covered up, half with my sweater, half with a blanket that I cut in half so we could put on the floor so we didn't get dirt on the floor. And so she's got one eye and my two nostrils sticking out. And I looked over at her. This is before we got caught by the paparazzi in the park. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. If I would have just been able to take a picture, Jen looked hilarious. So yeah, so when people went, she said, Jenna, people are looking at us. And I was like, oh no. And there were crowds forming and they were giggling and there were people in front of vehicles and behind vehicles. And I was just like, let's pretend it's not happening. And I can't get up at the time with this.
It was quite hysterical. So, and then the other thing that happened on our way back was Jenna got tired. Then a little bit later, it was getting dark and she was still kind of feeling tired because I interrupted her nap time at the rest area in broad daylight. And, and so she pulls over on the side of the road at an area where it was a road closed because of road construction. And we swapped drivers at that point. So I got into the driver's seat and there was a car coming up the side. And so I just put the car in drive and got on our way. And here it was a police officer. Police officer pulled us over. And he says, can I see your license and registration? And I said, this is a rental car? And he's like, okay. He says, where are you going and where are you coming from? And I said, well, we were in Virginia at the Bigfoot conference and we're on our way home. I said, we're the She Squatchers. And he said, the what? And I pointed out the window at the magnet on the door. And he looked at it and he just started giggling. And he says, oh, can I take a picture of that? I said, you sure can. And then he saw our Bigfoot pillow and he says, can I take a picture of that too? And he was like, the guys are never going to believe this. So he was pretty excited about meeting the She Squatchers, that's for sure.
Well, you forgot to tell them, though. He actually said to Jen, he goes, boy, and he had kind of an accent. He was a handsome guy. And he goes, boy, you girls are cracking me up. And we're like, oh, yes, we are, aren't we?
Yeah, and that was in Indiana. That happened in Indiana.
And if that's my hometown.
If Officer Handsome is listening, hi, Officer Handsome.
Officer Handsome, hello in Indiana. Yeah,
that's Hoosier like, hospitality for you, Jen. I'm an Indiana resident.
There you go. I should have said, do you know Maria from the BigfootPortal.com? You must know her.
Yeah, they have a cell specially named after me. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it was funny. So we had some quite adventures. Then we were on our way to the Bigfoot Days Festival in Reamer, Minnesota, because we got home the early morning of the 4th of July, and we had that day to rest, and I worked on the 5th, and then we hit the ground running on the morning of the 6th to our next Bigfoot event in Reamer, Minnesota, and Tammy joined us there, and so we stopped at Walmart to get some ice for the cooler, and Jenna was putting ice in the back, and of course she had her Girls Gone Squatch t-shirt on, and we had the magnets on the car, the SheSquatchers.com magnets, and some guy comes up to the back of the vehicle and starts asking Jenna, what is this squatch thing about? So he asked her she's like, you know, Bigfoot, we go looking for Bigfoot. And he didn't know what that was. And she's like, you seriously don't know what a Bigfoot is?
I really was stunned though. Like, he was literally saying, no, what do you mean though? What is Bigfoot? And I was like, are you serious? You gotta be teasing, right? And he was like, no, really, what is it? And I was like, Jen? I literally had to ask Jen to answer him because I couldn't figure it out. Like, I didn't know how to tell him. Because I didn't know for sure if he even was really asking the question I thought he was asking. It was so weird.
It was. This guy had never heard of Bigfoot before. I'm like, it was hard to explain it to him. I said, you know, it's like a undiscovered, unclassified ape that has not been officially discovered yet in North America, but has been seen by many. Bigfoot, Sasquatch, you've never heard of this? He had never heard of it. I was in shock. So definitely our car magnets and our t-shirts, which on the back say, I'm all about Girls Gone Squatch, and then it says SheSquatchers.com. everybody, that seems to get people's attention. And they don't fail to walk up and ask us some questions about that. Is that what you experienced too, Maria, when you were wearing them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're like, oh, what's that about? Or what do you guys do? They're like, oh, we do research. We experience. You know, we try to find evidence, which, by the way, I'm glad you reminded me. My friend Keith kind of kidnapped me and sent me to, we went up the wilderness area near the Mount Rainier. There's no vehicles or anything. They don't let anything there. And we went up a horse trail. There's a horse trail there that is about 4 miles, and it goes up to the lakes about Mount Rainier. And there's people could camp up there, but the only way to go in there is by horseback. So we walked the horse trail into the forest, and that's where Keith went up the embankment, and he found the Bigfoot tracks there. So, of course, I'm a newbie on Bigfoot researching. What do I know? I live in the industrial area of Northwest Indiana. We have all the steel mills. I don't have any kind of forest. It's my first time squatching. I don't have anything to measure the tracks with. So what would a she-squatcher do? I went into my wallet and I took out my Donna Karen card and I put it right next to the track so we could measure that.
So you got to tell the listeners, what is a Donna Karen card? Because some of them might not know what that is.
Oh, that's a card that you get at Macy's for the perfume aisle, and you spray the perfume. So you like the smell, so you keep it and you put it in your wallet. So that's the only thing I had in my wallet to measure anything, to measure the track. So I ended up putting the card down next to the track. I thought you'd be proud of me, Jen.
I would be. I am. I'm very proud of you, Maria. I'm very proud of you. And then we had this conversation earlier, and I said, you need to have a dollar bill in your wallet for this. And or if you're really a big spender, a $5 bill, because it might blow away when you're taking a picture of your big footprint. We've had that happen. We've had that happen where a $5 bill blew away when we were trying to take a picture of it to measure. So if you don't have a measuring tape, try to have some dollar bills in your pocket.
Right.
So, because everybody knows how big those are. But a lot of times
only the girls know how big the perfume cards are.
Yes, that's for sure.
It's special code for girls.
Yes, yes. Yes, exactly, exactly.
You are so awesome. Thank you for just being you. I love you. You're awesome.
we're paving the way for girls here. It's a whole new trail, I'm telling you. Zach's right. Just over there going, wow, perfume cards. Mama Squatcher would be all about that, wouldn't you?
Yes, ma'am. I could even do some makeup applications, make them look like Sasquatch. I'm a makeup artist, so
there you go.
Big Zach look better.
Oh, for fun. So fun.
Yeah, at least I smell good while I went out squatching.
There you go. Bigfoot probably wondered what that scent was. It's probably something he's never smelled before. Well,
since you guys are hearing, since we've heard your little return home adventure, you want her to tell ours?
Yes. Mama Squatcher, what was your adventure?
Zach went to sleep 11 minutes after we left. He slept 90% of the journey home. I had to shake myself in the seat. I had to weave my head back and forth. I don't know how many times I had to stop and get out. I would wait until I literally had to go to the bathroom. Oh. Just take away. And after our last gas stop, I pulled about 30 miles or 40 from home. There were no gas stations open at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh no.
I drove the last 31 miles.
Back to El Dorado. Back to El Dorado.
And what did I do? I got in front of somebody doing 40 in a 60. I got bit and I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to speed up and go around him. We'll just coast to the gas station. I had 9 more miles to go. I was having a heart attack.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. We're out in the middle of nowhere. I got to go to the potty and no gas for the car. You know, I'm like, isn't this nice? And what's he doing? He's over there. And I'm like, well, isn't that just happy?
Well, I saw the pictures. I saw the pictures of Zach sleep in the car.
Well, here's the funny part. After we left Beckley, West Virginia, we got a report on our Google GPS that there was a wreck on 64, so we had a detour down Route 60. And
oh, Lord.
That took us an hour, and we're going through all these backward towns and everything, and we could come up across where the stoplight is, where a bus stop is, and there's a guy out in the median screaming his head off and about ready to beat himself up. I hit the door lock, and I said, okay, just don't even look at him. We ain't seeing nothing. We're not witnesses to anything.
Yeah, we were driving down along the river. It was dark. You couldn't see. They kept saying 23 miles was all it was going to be. 23 miles. I bet you it was every bit of 40.
Yeah, 60 miles later.
No, you know, two-lane roads, dark night. And I'm like, yeah, oh, I was giving him a fit.
It was right along the Kanawha River, too. And it was real foggy going along the Kanawha.
I was real happy. I did a whoop and a cheer when I saw the sign to 64 and scared him half to death.
Yes, I about flew out of the passenger seat and ran the west of the way home.
Big, brave man Sasquatcher was snoring. I just was real happy with him, you know. I was like, dude.
You're the one that said my snoring kept you awake. Jen told me that me snoring would put her to sleep. Well, evidently, with Jenna right there, her snoring put her into a deep sleep.
You know, my tiny little snores, you can barely hear them, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, that is so not true. I actually took my phone out and recorded her snoring in the passenger seat so she could bear witness to it.
I thought it was just wonderful. I thought, how cute is that? No one snores as cute as I do. I teach them, but...
Well, I tell you what, if I had anything to say about my first conference, I am excited. I cannot wait to go back next year. I've been talking to Daniel about planning stuff, and I even talked to him about me coming out probably a month or two before and helping put together like a program and some fundraiser ideas and maybe get pictures of everybody and put in the booklet. That way they've got something to buy to have everybody sign, you know, and I just thought that would be a real neat idea. You know, to think about for a fundraiser, because I did fundraisers and stuff, and I'm thinking, just let me have some power. You know, I'm a Leo. Let me have some power here.
We should make a calendar of all the Bigfoot hunters. That would be an awesome fundraiser.
There's a lot of Bigfoot hunters.
I know. And
yeah, that's okay.
We should sell them and make the guys look sexy, but I think us women should be the very first month and on the first front flap that comes down and covers up the calendar. I think it should be the girls first. Ladies first.
Oh,
I like that idea. Yeah, I'm going to be in there.
Ladies only.
I'm gonna be on that calendar.
How about ladies only?
Well, yeah, we could do that too.
Yeah, we could do that.
Jen Cruz wants to be January, February, March.
I'm August, okay?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can give up my birthday or not.
Well, August birthdays. I'm August 10th. Tammy's August 14th. What's your birthday, Mama?
August 2nd.
Oh, I'm February.
Well, the three of us can be on the cover for August together.
There you go.
What's that idea about having everybody who has birthdays, all the Bigfoot hunters with the birthdays in each month? That'd be a really good idea.
I think Tammy, you're special.
Thank you very much.
Zach with that pink fan. That should be March because that's his birthday.
No.
Oh, I did that picture. I actually have an entire video of Zach doing a fan dance with one of our sheep watchers.
Do not.
Zach, you have to post it, Jen. You have to post
it. Southern Illinois Monster Hunters.
I was still a little tipsy from the night before. Okay.
No, that's not an excuse.
Mama's going to get back to him for having slept the whole way home.
Yeah. If I'd have been able to.
Paybacks.
Oh, honey.
I got to tell you, these Bigfoot conferences are so much fun. To be hanging out with other Bigfooters who just share that passion that we have for going out looking for Bigfoot and sharing the stories and our experiences with each other is so much fun. And, you know, it's a place where you feel like you fit in, that's for sure. And people don't look at you like you're a nutcase going out looking for Bigfoot, which we experience plenty enough in our lives. And we wear it like a badge when we wear our She Squatchers magnets on the car or our Girls Gone Squatch t-shirts. Right, ladies? It sure is a conversation starter, if nothing else, if nothing else. So it's definitely a good time to be had by all. And so we've gone through the EC Barrow Virginia Bigfoot Conference, which was held at the end of June, beginning of July. And then we did Bigfoot Days Festival in Raymer, Minnesota, which was July 6th and 7th. And our next event for She Squatchers is in Kansas City, Missouri, at the Kansas City Paranormal Conference, or the Paracon. And so we're going to be speaking there August 3rd. Well, I think we're speaking on August 4th. But the event is August 3, 4, 5. So that's our next event on our schedule. So if you're in the Kansas City, Missouri area or anywhere there you can get there, come out and see us. It's going to be a good time. Although it's not a Bigfoot conference, I think we might be the only Bigfooters who are going to be there. But we were welcomed with open arms last year when we spoke there. And they were so excited asking if we could come back because they loved us down there. So,
and we love them too. So
we did. We had a great time. It was a wonderful time. And, you know, I have a paranormal background, so I fit right in. And I think we all did, really. So
that's my old stomping grounds right there. So
Tammy's in the house. Me.
I said I'll bring Squatchino with me. He'll come with me. We'll put him in pink.
Are you guys going to come?
We'll have to think about it, but it sounds like fun.
I'm already looking forward to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. I get to share the stage with you girls.
Yes, yes.
You know, the thing is, that's birthday weekend, so why not?
Heck yeah, that'll be a good time.
Yeah.
So Zach's talking about the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, which is in October in Kingsport, Tennessee, and the She Squatchers will be there speaking, and so will Zach Sterick's going to be there from the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters. So y'all have to come check us out if you're anywhere near Tennessee, or you can make it there. Come out and see us at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. I hear that that whole venue is just a gorgeous area. And we're coming up to the end of the show, so I just wanted to say check out the Southern Illinois Monster Hunters on Facebook, and you can find Mama Squatcher and Zach Sterick there. They're awesome. We love them. And go to the Bigfoot portal.com. They have a really cool option on there, which is the calendar page. Yes. And Maria is so much in charge of that. She is the rockin' girl of that. She finds all those Bigfoot events going on in the world and she posts them on there. So if you're ever wondering about what's going on in the Bigfoot world, go check out the bigfootportal.com. And again, this is the She Squatchers, and you've been listening to the Journey Radio Show. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and check us out next week when we have Clayton Crawford on. Our topic will be Awakening, No Zombies Allowed. So good night, everybody, and thanks for coming. Thank you, Sarge, to our wonderful producer and Para X, our network. And have a good night, everyone.